Time now for the Local Beat with Dave O'Brien from the Chronicle Telegram, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers in Elyria on East Broad Street near the hospital. Vandermark, a trusted name in jewelry. Normally Rocco handles these duties, but I get a chance to talk with Dave and delve into some of the stories you've been working on with the Chronicle this past week. Dave, one of the first stories I want to look at and showed a crowd of folks in front of the UAW Local 2000 there at Abbey and French Creek in Sheffield. What were they doing out there in anticipation, I guess, of a possible strike?
Yeah, so the United Auto Workers is fighting currently with the big three automakers in Detroit over a new contract. The auto workers have said that they made concessions back during the Great Recession, that they haven't seen those concessions, you know, brought back to them, and it was things like longer breaks and moving, you know, bumping some temporary full-time employees and other employees up, and getting rid of the system of tiered pay, so that a person who's hired in now, you know, is making less than the same person who's doing the same amount of work, you know, and has been there for longer in these tiered pay structures. They want those to go away. So the UAW Local 2000, based there in Sheffield, gathered in a solidarity march and waved signs. They were all wearing red shirts, with sort of union strong language on them. And they marched and walked and stood along the side of the road there, waving at cars and waving their signs and cars honking back, to support these folks. And I spoke with several auto workers, both of them long time, almost 30 years on the line, almost 30 years there working for the automakers. And they said while they were hoping that they didn't have to strike, there's a strike deadline coming up at 11:59 p.m. Thursday night. So we'll see what the national union wants to do about that. But there's a lot of demands, you know, increased pay, better medical benefits for retirees, making sure that retirees get their full pensions. There's a lot of things that the auto workers want from the big three automakers.
So when you cover a story like this, are you getting a tip or release from the union saying, hey, we're going to be out here? Or do you get a call from someone say, hey, there's a lot of people with red shirts standing on the corner?
Well, we found out ahead of time. I can't really go into how the sources right. work, but suffice it to say we found out ahead of time, and went out there. I was scheduled to work on Saturday, and I went out there and just walked the line and talked to auto workers and kind of asked them what was up and what they were feeling and what they were about and who they were and where they're from and how long they've been working for the company, how long they've been in the union and just what they think is important about this March for Solidarity.
Talking with Dave O'Brien this morning on the Local Beat. One other story you covered had to do from the county commissioners. Always things happening with the commissioners, but this involves the strategic plan. Where are we in that strategic plan? What can you tell us?
Yeah, so right now we're sort of in the very early stages of this strategic plan. A consultant group called Future IQ out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, is helping the county. The county paid them almost $100,000, I believe about $95,000, to help design a five-year strategic plan for Lorain County. What Lorain County is want to see from their government. Kind of the future of things. In terms of economic development, and in terms of, I'm sure, parks are going to be sort of involved in that, and probably some discussions about the replacement of the county jail, and just kind of creating a document that lays out the future of Lorain County for the next several years. So the plan is to release this strategic plan just ahead of Lorain County's 200th birthday, the bicentennial, which is in May of next year. So we should see that completed strategic plan by just about April 1st. Just about April Fool's Day is when it's been promised. And what that strategic plan, process is going to look like is meetings with county officials, some of which has already happened. Meetings they call them stakeholders, so that could be anybody from somebody at the child welfare, organization. It could be somebody at JFS. It could be somebody who's lived in the county for a long time, business leaders, law enforcement, I'm sure, firefighters and just average citizens, also Spanish speaking, Lorain County residents are going to be included as well, because they're going to be translating the Future IQ and the Community Foundation of Lorain County are going to be translating a lot of these questions and a lot of these surveys into Spanish, so that you know, a large number of Spanish-speaking residents of Lorain County can contribute to this to these strategic plans.
Yeah, you want the community or the citizens involved so that they obviously have investment in the future for their county. One other thing that related to the public had to do with the Midway Mall. I guess the city of Elyria put out a survey and they got quite a response from that.
Yeah, 2,000 responses the city of Elyria got on a community survey on the future of Midway Mall. That came from a town hall forum that was hosted back on August 31st. In the food court at the mall, Mayor Frank Whitfield, Assistant Safety Service Director Don Calvert, gave updates to residents on the plans for the site. A lot has been made about what the future of the mall is going to look like. Lorain County Port Authority bought the mall for almost $14 million. The majority of the mall property there back in January, the Lorain County Commissioners provided the financial backing and the mall for potential future redevelopment. You know, there have been proposals that have been sought by the Port Authority for developers possibly interested in presenting plans. Those proposals have to come in by October. All the data collected from the public process, from the public engagement process, will be used to evaluate that proposal. There were questions about, what the most important feature of the future of development of the mall should be, and the Illyrians were asked about that, specifically what they would like to see and what they would not like to see. So we don't have the survey data back. It was not immediately available to our reporter who worked on that. Kevin Martin has been following that. And Mayor Whitfield has said that he'd like to see the Midway Mall move away from retail development, maybe move into a health and wellness center, light industrial. There were some plans early on that are kind of on hold with the Cleveland Clinic, maybe putting in sort of a health center or some sort of other kind of in light industrial medical devices development firm or medical devices. A manufacturing business. The site had been mentioned as possibly being where we could put a Lorain County Convention Center, a medical office building, that kind of thing. No real solid set in stone plans yet for the Midway Mall, but there is much interest. And once we get those survey details, we'll report on those at ChronicleT.com and in the Chronicle Telegram print edition.
Yeah, definitely a continuing story with the Midway Mall over time, and it's always a different chapter into what they may be doing over there. I know, Dave, you spent a lot of time in the courtroom following different things, tragedy with people and stuff, but one story you were able to do sort of has that sort of human interest story. The late Jane Norton receiving the National Daughters of American Revolution Medal of Honor. Tell me a little bit about that you covered.
Yeah, that was a really nice event. Again, on Saturday, the Daughters of the American Revolution getting permission from the National Society to give the most prestigious award that the DAR gives out, and that is the Medal of Honor, going to the late Jane Norton. Jane passed at the age of 82 back in April. From all accounts, a fabulous woman who cared deeply about her community, a civic leader. Engaged with a number of different foundations, too many to mention here, too numerous to mention. She was also on the board of the Lorain County Historical Society, helped them develop their Carnegie Center on there on West 10th Street up in Lorain, and that was where her widower or her husband Ben Norton received the Medal of Honor from the Nathan Perry Chapter Society of the Daughters of the American Revolution on his wife's behalf. He was very thankful, said his family was very blessed to receive this honor. His wife would have loved to have been there, obviously not possible, but a lot of great Jane Norton stories about how she helped the Historical Society, have their headquarters, have their little museum there, which is a fabulous little museum. If you get a chance to go up there, check it out. It's really kind of neat about the history of the city of Lorain from, excuse me, from shipping to African American Black history in the city. There's a kids room and everything like that, and a lot of that possible from Jane and Ben Norton, and Jane being the recipient of that medal is really special. And they don't normally give it out posthumously. The DAR does not normally give that out as a posthumous award, but again, permission from the National Society to do that. So really wonderful event for the Norton family, several of whom were able to be there on Saturday.
Let's talk about some of the things. Again, we're talking with Dave O'Brien from the Chronicle-Telegram. What are you and your colleagues working on for the issues ahead?
So I have, as you said, Bruce, some court stuff coming up for folks. Read all about it at chronicle.com and the Chronicle Telegram print edition. I know that Owen McMillan is continuing to work on Avon Lake and Sheffield issues. I know he had a court issue that he was working on, some lawsuits going on in some of his areas of coverage. Carissa Wojtak working obviously very hard on covering Lorain City Council, Lorain School Board. So all of that should be coming up in later editions this week of the Chronicle Telegram.
Hey, if you're working on the weekend, don't forget to stop at the Elyria Apple Festival. It's just half a walk from your headquarters there for the CT.
Yeah, absolutely. Always a good time at the Apple Festival, and people should really go out there and check it out and get their apples and see the contests and awards and go. I know a lot of people come back into town for the Apple Festival to hang out and see the old folks and see friends from back in the day. Really, really fabulous little event.
All right, Dave, I know Rocco likes, this seems to be his favorite part. I don't know why. He likes to know what other trials and tribulations are happening in the world from the scanners stories that you've covered. Which one are we detailing today?
Well, I'm going to go with our friends at Northeast Ohio Scanner on the X platform, formerly known as Twitter, and we'll take you Dateline East Cleveland. These two poor gentlemen, location withheld, but witnesses observed two young males between the ages of 15 and 17, and I will quote the dispatcher directly here from the scanner. They should be having trouble steering because they were unable to get the wheel lock off of the car in which they were riding.
Driving, at least in quotes or whatever.
And obviously the implication is that they were doing so without permission.
Sure.
Let's put it that way.
Yes, exactly. Well, we appreciate your time this morning, Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram. Again, you can find out more at chronicle.com, get the e-edition as well, or pick up a Chronicle Telegram at your favorite newsstand. It's the Local Beat with O'Brien, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers in Elyria on East Broad Street near the hospital. Vandermark, a trusted name in jewelry.